In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Ghost. Amen. I'm very happy to say that just in a few minutes, we're going to be instituting a new crop of readers for All Saints. Penny Carpenter, Claude Davis, and Nick Mandolini. And I want to thank each of them, thank you all very sincerely for offering yourselves for this crucial and important and very visible and public ministry at All Saints. We're accustomed to calling this ministry that of a lay reader, but in earlier centuries of the church's life, that would have been a contradiction in terms, because the office of reader was, in fact, the second grade of ordained ministry, of which there were eight. There were four so-called minor orders of the church: doorkeepers, which are like our ushers, readers, exorcists, and acolytes, and there were four major orders in the church: subdeacons, deacons, priests, and bishops. Readers, therefore, were the second rung on the ladder of the church's hierarchy. And in the olden days of the church, you'll be pleased to hear that we don't do this anymore, but you actually received the tonsure when you became a lay reader. You know, they shaved the top of your head. So we're not going to do that. Penny was concerned about putting on the messing up her hair when she put on the surplice this morning, but in the olden days, we would just shave all the hair right off. But we're not going to do that this morning. Although we might consider that for next year. At any rate, the office of reader is very, very ancient. It goes back just about as far as we know anything about church history from written records. And it may well have been of apostolic origin, actually. A very early Christian text called the Apostolic Constitutions indicates that Christian communities in those very early years instituted readers, just as we are doing today. It even contains the prayer that was said over the candidates, and it attributes it, interestingly, to the Apostle Matthew. One of the things I say constantly is that our scriptures are mythological, not in the sense that what they relate didn't happen, but in the sense that the narrative symbolizes something beneath the surface in the way that all myths do. And I often say that the Lord's life itself was mythological in that sense. His actions, his deeds, and the circumstances even of his biography were symbolic. Well, our lives, the lives of Christians, ours, are meant to be mythological in that very same way. And not least our corporate life, our life as a community, it's meant to be symbolic. I mean, what we're doing here today, for example, think about it. It's all symbolical. We're gathering together to eat a meal, but it's not for the sake of metabolizing the vitamins and minerals and nutrients in the bread and the wine, the sugars and so forth. If that's at all a part of the point of it, it's a very small part. There's another deeper, symbolical, mythological point to what we're doing. The liturgical reading of Scripture is symbolic in that way as well. You probably have a Bible at home, after all, and you probably have, or they are certainly readily available, learned and accessible scriptural commentaries that you can easily get. If you don't have a Bible at home, you should have a Bible at home. The point is, you can read your Bible there. You could read these lessons there in comfort and at your leisure. Why do we stream into this room and have an instituted reader read these texts aloud to us? It's a good question. One reason is that they aren't being read only to us. Or perhaps it's more precise to say that they aren't being read only so that the information contained in them can be conveyed to us, much as the point of drinking the cup and eating the bread, the point is not to receive the nutrient, not the main point is not to receive the nutrients contained in it. In much the same way, the main point of having these texts read aloud is not actually to receive the information that they contain. They are also being read out as a proclamation of those mighty acts whereby the devil has been defeated and the world enlivened, We might just begin the readings by saying, to whom it may be concerned, right? The enemies of God, evil spirits in the vicinity, something like that. We are proclaiming salvation and the record of God's saving deeds in the person of his Son. The role of a reader is therefore also symbolical of the Christian life itself. Readers model for us the shape of the Christian life, not least in that respect, because we are meant to exemplify in word and in deed the things that they proclaim from that lectern Sunday by Sunday. Namely, that in the words of today's collect, the Son of God was manifested in order that he might destroy the works of the devil and make us sons of God and heirs of eternal life. And having this hope, and not least because of the ministry of these three individuals and their colleagues who are also readers in the church, having this hope, let our response be to purify ourselves, that we may be made like unto Jesus Christ in his eternal and glorious kingdom. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Ghost. Amen.